Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm your host, Lisa Zimmer, and although I'm always blessed with fantastic guests to chat with on my show here, today is very, very close to my heart. Today I'll be interviewing three of my fellow 49 O Magazine insiders who each make our world a little brighter just by being themselves. You may be asking yourself about now, who are the O Magazine insiders? Well, let me back up a bit and tell you about my personal experience with being chosen as an O insider. It was back in the beginning of January of this year, and I was taking my beloved O Magazine with me to the tub, and as I was getting out, I tossed the magazine on the ground, and the page for the application opens up. Yes, I listen to signs, I take note, and being the poster child for all things intuitive, I had a major hit to enter. Well, honestly, it was more of a knowing, and I immediately went into a self-chat with my ego on how self-important and egotistical that thought was. Yes, my inner chatter becomes quite humorous at times. Anyway, spirit nudged me, and I entered on my iPhone. I don't even remember the questions or the answers, and I'm very sorry. Oh, I actually forgot that I entered, but about a week after a very non-eventful birthday, I was making a goals list for my new year when I'm scrolling through my emails, and I see I won something. Now, here's where self-sabotage can come in and kick your ass. I almost deleted the email as spam. So once again, spirit nudged me, and thank God I do listen. So I found out that I was picked out of thousands of applicants and chosen as one of the 50 O Magazine insiders as ambassadors to the magazine, O Magazine. Now, to be connected with anything O-related is just a fabulous feeling and a connection. But the people in this close group are truly the most remarkable individuals who simply by the nature of their own souls, their essence, are making this world of ours a little bit brighter every single day. So today, without further ado, we're going to begin our show with Amy Boyle, who is an international photographer, and she's going to delight our visual senses with her artistry as we discuss locations and projects, even celebrity shoots with our own faved Oprah Winfrey. And then we will chat with Maria Lynn Thomas about her condition, hyperhidrosis, and her part in bringing awareness to it. Finally, we're going to finish the show with life coach Joshua Perez, who will talk about his courage, his pain, and bravery as he declared his truth and embraced his authenticity. So without any more wait, let me first introduce my first guest to you, one of my fellow O Magazine insiders, international photographer, Amy Boyle. Welcome, welcome, Amy. Thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities today. It's such a pleasure to get to jive with you and chat.
Oh, I can't believe we're actually doing this. This is wonderful, Lisa. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure, Amy. My pleasure. Now, in looking at your work, your artistry, your photography, it's truly breathtaking. In fact, every shot is, you have so much nature in there. And when I see nature, I see God. So when I see your artwork, it just speaks to me. It just says God all over it. So let's talk a little bit about how you got your calling. I know everybody, we all have our calling. We all have this bite that happens. How did photography speak to you? How did you find your calling in it?
I've had a camera in my hand ever since I was in middle school, always subconsciously using it to journal, through the images that I saw to remember the things that I had done, the people I had been with. But then not until my youngest was about 18 months old, so about 14, 15 years ago, did a friend of mine say, "Why in the world aren't you doing this for a business?" And I'm like, "Well, because it's for me." And I was like,
right.
"Well, it's my journal." And they're like, "No, I really think you should share it." And so then became the path on where to begin and what was going to be the outlet. So it just it started to blossom.
That's incredible. And on top of this, may I add, you and I have four children each, but God bless you, Amy. You have four sons. I have two of each. I got a little bit of a break. You have four sons. So how do you, dear God, in all of the universe, manifest what you've got going on and orchestrate such fine individuals that you are raising here? I mean, you've got your oldest is 21, then you have a 19-year-old who is kind of like following in your footsteps. Let's talk a little bit about that as we go on. And then you have, let's see, a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. Dear God, all the wonderful ages too, let me add. These, as a mother, it's like these are the ages that you pray to God are easy.
True, right? And then you're just grateful that I think having all boys, they lovingly respect me as a mom and women in general, and I thank my lucky stars every day that they're the fine young men that they are.
Well, because of you. I mean, you are that role model. They're learning from you. You can tell. It's such great family energy and dynamics. I see it in your pictures. You just have a beautiful, beautiful family. So let's talk a little bit about your favorite shoots. Now, you are an international photographer. You are featured in the Columbus Museum of Art, and you have Fortune magazine. I mean, you're all over the place. So let's talk about your favorite shoots. What do you love to shoot, and how do you bring yourself there? How do you get yourself primed for that?
Over the last few years, theater has really become my absolute favorite thing to shoot. I think now more than ever, the people coming together to hear a story, to relate to other humans, is so incredibly important, and theater does that so well that it just really makes us all a part of the experience and humanity. So theater is fantastic. There's almost no time when I've left a theater shoot where I'm not like wiping tears away from my eyes and hope I didn't get a blurry photo because I'm so moved.
That's awesome.
You know, so that, and then just any time I do a lot more full in corporate photography, but it's the human nature. I really think that for me, you can learn how to take a beautiful photo, but unless you're connecting with the people on the other side of the lens and they connect with you, then the image can be flat. And I can always feel relief when I look back to know that we've connected, we've laughed, we've, you know, just kind of chilled out or gotten the moment and shared something that we know we can always look back on.
Wonderful. Now, you have done some really incredible shoots, and one of them was of our own faved Oprah Winfrey and another icon, Elton John. So I know that those photos, they were unbelievably fabulous. You were like right there, absolutely fabulous shots. Talk to me about that. I mean, you know, there's something about being in the right place at the right time and how spirit nudges us sometimes, and this just feels like one of those serendipitous moments for you. So let's talk a little bit about how that happened.
Sure. So I started my journey with theater photography back in 2009. And one of the first shows that I kind of followed from start to finish to Broadway in Chicago was Billy Elliot when it was starting in Chicago from its first tour out of New York. So opening
okay.
in 2011, I typically, when I work for Broadway in Chicago, if there's red carpet events, I'm capturing the arrivals. And one of our famed marketing ladies here, Margie Korshak, tapped me on the shoulder and said, like, you need to come with me. We have a photo. And I was like, okay. And, you know, we've been doing all the arrivals, and it was fabulous. And all of a sudden, we end up in the green room, and she looks at me and she just says, go. And there they were. It was Oprah and Elton and Jesse Jackson, too. And I was like, oh, all right, don't fail me now. Like you said, spirit nudged you. The camera clicked. Everything was fabulous. I'm like, well, that was easy. Like, oh, my gosh, it was so unbelievable. It was crazy. And then, you know, then you just move around the room and take the other photos. And everyone went to their seats and started the beginning of the performance, and you're like, well, there you go. Wow. How about it?
That's a great story. It had to be the most surreal experience because, you know, when you're ready for something or you're preparing for something, you have that little moment in yourself where it's, you know, either anxiety or excitement. It's like you're getting primed for it, but you didn't even have that moment. You didn't even know, you know, you could have been going to go dunk bonbons in milk. I mean,
yeah, just no concept of what we were doing. Just took me by the hand. She's like, all right, we're going to go in here. And I'm like, okay, yes, absolutely. I'm, you know, very much, well, what do you need? Let's get it done. And then I look up and I'm like, holy cow, here we are.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. Living legends right in front of you. That's awesome. Now, you know, you have some incredible shots, like your Italian photography, your European photography. You have so many incredible nature shots. How do you prepare for that? How do you set up for something so magnificent, so awe-inspiring like that? Do you prepare mentally? Is it a big, you know, production with your equipment? Is it something spontaneous? What's your method? How do you approach your art?
Yeah, for the most part, it's picking the location in advance. My family and I, my husband and I, with the boys, we always plan whatever our trip. We love to be outdoors, as you've picked up on, and we do a lot of camping. So with that kind of travel, actually my gear level is the lightest I can be to produce the best quality image. I really think that as much as I love to capture beautiful scenery, if I'm not present as well,
right,
then I'm missing out on things that are happening with my family, with the sunset and all that. So I really do think that being open,
right,
to seeing, but also just being there helps. And that's the way,
right,
I like to look at why and how I capture the things that I do. But yeah, as far as the gear, I try to keep it light. And then having a second photographer along, like Colin, we always split up the gear. So that makes life a lot easier, too. I can say, here, you're going to take three lenses,
great,
and I'm going to take two.
Oh, that's awesome. And that offers me a great segue into my question here for you in regard to Colin, because he is your little your right-hand guy, isn't he? You guys are a duo. You're a photography duo, and I think that is just the absolute coolest thing to have one of your kids along for the ride. I think that's just so cool. But before I even get into that, I have to take note and mention this about you, because I picked up on this on you, and this is something that I truly appreciate, and you briefly just touched upon it. But I can tell your philosophy in photography is so present, because you are just such an aware, the subtleties of what you pick up on and the emotion that you capture with your picture, you can tell your sensitivity as an artist, as a photographer. I just, you know, I love art. I love photography. I love nature. I especially love nature photography. And yours is absolutely breathtaking. So I totally see you in, you know, I totally see you in travel and leisure and, you know, contributing photographer to Sunset Magazine or Bo Magazine or anywhere that there's, like, desire for awesome photography. Just, you know, you're the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest is a specific draw to me. So I was really looking at your California shots the other day. It was just absolutely breathtaking. Now, let me go into, why do you feel when you're taking a picture and you're talking to somebody, like say you're dealing with somebody who is, you know, you're photographing somebody live, when people are taking pictures of a person, I find it so important to have some sort of a connection with the photographer, and this is something that you emphasize specifically to me in our discussion, is how important it is for you to connect with your subject matter. And I don't hear that a lot from photographers, and I love to hear that from photographers. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about how to make a better picture when people are relaxed versus uptight, or how to kind of like move into more of a, because I can get really uptight with pictures sometimes, and it comes across, and so I delete like pictures that are in, have me in them. So how can we like relax a little bit, Amy, when we're getting a photograph taken and it's then the photographer's not as friendly as you are?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is, so just what you said, that you could be uptight before you do the shoot. I recently had a client earlier this spring who essentially wrote me an email saying, I take terrible pictures. This may not work. I mean, it was all these, you know, self-fulfilling, like, it's going to suck. And you're like, okay, well, I can't wait to say yes to this. But I could tell in her email that there was some great humor. And so when we got together, I'm like, you know, I just wanted her to tell me about her day. And I could tell that it was just kind of funny. And then this happened, and then that happened. And once we started laughing, I was just like, oh, I'm just testing my light. And a click, click. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, check this out. And I showed it to her. And she's like, well, that's me. And I'm like, yeah, and you're gorgeous. And she's like, oh. And then she, like, burst into tears. I'm like, but see, it's just about, you know, when you wait and we're, who knows how to pose? I mean, many people
right.
do, but so many of us don't. And that makes
right.
me nervous. Maybe Maria will touch on this. It makes my hands sweat thinking about it. I'm like, oh, my
right.
gosh, this is crazy. And so, you know, when you have that moment to listen to what they're saying,
right.
and then you have the skills to make it as most positive and flattering image as possible, then they see themselves in a way that maybe if you just had even the most beautiful glamour shot, it might not bring out the essence in your eyes or your smile or just your general
right.
stance and all that sort of thing.
Right, right. Oh, that's a great story. That's, and we can all relate to that. I know I can. It's one of those things where, you know, it's pictures are one of those very personal pieces of yourself. It's like, you know, it's like tribal people. They didn't want pictures taken of them because they thought a piece of their soul was going to go with it. Well, God bless us. I think all of us feel a little bit like that, you know? So, well, I just have loved our chat, Amy. This has been a great, great talk. I want to make sure I address everything on where people can find your art, where they can find you, how they can log into you. So please tell our audience how they can find your artwork and look at your gorgeous work and support you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Instagram and Twitter are Amy Boyle Photo, and my website is amyboylephotography.com. And I can't thank you enough, Lisa. It's been our conversations over Instagram in particular just warm my heart every day. Knowing
oh.
that we have things in common, whether it's Cardinals at a bird bath or our sons graduating, it just feels like we've known each other for a long time.
Isn't it true? Honest to God, I am just so touched by the connections that we all have through this O magazine. It is truly, there's no coincidences. I believe everything is divinely guided, and I am every day appreciative more and more of this connection. Thank you so much, Amy, for being a part of my journey, my life, and my connection, and I really, really look forward to diving with you more in the future. So, and thank
oh,
you for this, this interview. This is awesome. And we are going to talk to our next OMAG insider, who is Maria Lynn Thomas. Now, Maria Lynn is such a brave pioneer. I have to tell you, this lady is a trooper. She's going to talk to us and inform us about something I had no idea even existed. And I like to think I'm a little informed. But the condition that she's going to talk to us about is called hyperhidrosis, and it's excessive sweating. But I don't want to just, you know, gloss it over with that description, because there's so much more to it. And without further ado, I want to introduce Maria Lynn Thomas today, as we are educated and informed about the condition hyperhidrosis. Welcome, welcome, Maria. I am so happy to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful. Now, talk to me about how in the world did you ever find out you had hyperhidrosis? Was this something that was a condition that you were going to a doctor for? Did you have to go to many doctors? Was it something your doctor was hip on diagnosing? Talk to me about the process in discovering this condition.
Sure. So I remember having really sweaty hands and feet from probably about first grade, you know, age 7. And then in middle school, my mom took me just to our general family practice doctor, and he prescribed something called Drysol, which is a prescription strength antiperspirant. He told me to put that on my hands and feet at night, go to bed with socks on, that kind of thing. That didn't really give me a lot of relief. And so when I was about 19 or 20, I was just on Google one day and I just typed in, you know, perspiration. And I think another search term was, you know, excessive sweating. And I came up upon a lot of different sites. Most of them were touting a procedure called ETS, which is a surgery where they go in through each armpit and they clamp off individual sections of your nerve glands to stop sweating.
Wow.
So I kind of self-diagnosed just through Google searches and reading some literature and whatnot. And then about 6 years ago, I came across an organization called the International Hyperhidrosis Society. They held a treatment symposium in Denver, and so I volunteered as a patient, went to the symposium, and I had Botox injections in my hands. I had 155 injections, to be exact.
Wow.
And when I was there, the dermatologist who treated me there said that I had the worst case of palmar hyperhidrosis that he had ever seen. My hands literally drip puddles. And so I got treatment there. The Botox worked for about 3 weeks, but it also made my back sweat much worse. So I almost feel like sometimes my body was born to sweat, and if I can't sweat in my hands and feet, I'm going to sweat somewhere else. But
okay.
what happened at this symposium was that it was an entire organization dedicated to raising awareness and research and better treatment options. So I went there and was completely validated by these people. They touched my hands
right.
and feet. They didn't shrink back in disgust because they knew what I was going through. You know, this is a condition
right.
that affects over 5% of the world population, and it's under-recognized and under-treated because people
right.
either don't know that there's a medical term for it or they're embarrassed and ashamed because of
right.
the way their bodies naturally are.
Oh, gosh, you are so brave, Maria. Okay, so at any point, did you ever think that this was affected by, like, a hormonal imbalance or something like that? Was that
they're still trying to figure out exactly what causes hyperhidrosis. For me personally, it's not hormone related, and it's
okay.
also important to distinguish between primary and secondary hyperhidrosis.
Uh-oh.
Primary is you're sweating just because you're sweating. Secondary hyperhidrosis means you're sweating due to another factor, an underlying health condition, or maybe you're taking a particular medication and a side effect is sweating. So I have primary hyperhidrosis.
Okay, wow, that's incredible. So they've even been able to differentiate. This is something that you must have, like, really learned some incredible coping mechanisms over the years, having started,
yes.
like, in middle school, when it's our most vulnerable time in our life is middle school. I mean, is there a worse time in anyone's life than middle school? And then you're having to feel even more different. So, I mean, how, God bless you, did you manage to keep your head up and to feel your awesomeness while, you know, you're coming to terms with this? What were your coping mechanisms? How did you develop them?
Yeah, so growing up, I remember, like, test days at school, you know, I would try to wear long sleeves so that I could pull my sleeve down over my hand, because when I'm writing on paper, you know, the paper can start to become wet and the edges of the paper will curl up. So I would wear
wow.
long sleeves. I would prefer jeans versus any other type of clothing because jeans are easier to wipe your hands on, that kind of thing.
Wow.
It affected the shoes that I wore. You know, I can't wear, even to this day, I have a hard time wearing certain types of flip-flops or sandals because my feet will slip and slide around in them. But there are a lot of products that I've found that do work. The Thompson tee is great for underarm sweating. Summer soles are shoe insoles that can help absorb sweat. So there's lots of different coping mechanisms that I write about on my blog.
Okay, and your blog. And let's talk about your blog because you created this to bring a tremendous amount of awareness to hyperhidrosis, and your blog is called My Life as a Puddle, which I think shows your incredible sense of humor and and your incredible connection to looking at the glass being half full, because I love your optimism. You're just such an optimistic person. With dealing with anything that in our human condition, we all have something, but in dealing with something that you are managing, it's like you have brought this awareness to so many people who have probably struggled with shame and embarrassment and not even wanting to talk about it or even look into it because they didn't even know what to diagnose it as. So this is just incredible awareness for people. And 5% is a large amount of people, and when you're talking about, a worldwide basis, there's a lot of people suffering
from this.
It
really
is. You know?
Yeah.
How have you looked at, now, I look at things, because I think life gives us these challenges sometimes to really help us evolve to be and get and love our life even more. And so the way I look at this is I would think that there's going to be people in your life that are so awesome and supportive and loving that they are like blood family, even if they're not related. And then there's people who just don't get it and they had to kind of like fall by the wayside because they may not have had that sensitivity gene or that compassion piece, you know? So how have your relationships evolved over the years? Like, have you seen changes in your relationships, the depth, the connections?
Yeah, definitely. I would say, growing up, I still wasn't really aware of my condition at that point, that it was an actual condition. But as I got older and started doing my own research, I just started sharing it with my friends. And then, 6 years ago when I came out of this hyperhidrosis symposium, I was just incredibly validated by Lisa Peretti is the executive director, and she's the one who has become one of my very dear friends because she understands what it's like. This condition is medically, emotionally, and socially debilitating. And once I was able to become comfortable enough to talk about it through that validation, I wanted other people to know that they weren't alone. So I like to say that I'm creating hope and awareness one drop at a time. I'm kind of creating my own tribe, and my blog and my social media is a safe place. People can ask me whatever they want. I mean, I did a post about groin sweating. Like, who writes about that? But I wrote about it because people have that, people need to know that they're not alone. It's totally real. And, my friends, I was in a wedding once, and we were trying to pick out shoes for all of the bridesmaids, and that friend was able to help me and say, if you can't wear this type of shoe, pick whatever works for you, and we'll rock that out.
Awesome.
When I got married, I had a towel. My mother-in-law sewed a towel around the handle of my wedding bouquet so that I could hold it and have it be absorbed. Things like that, my friends will let me sit, in front of the fan at their house, or they'll make sure that it's cool enough in there for me. In the summertime, my husband will turn on the car in advance and make sure the air conditioning is going so that I can get in the car and not be sweaty.
Such loving people around you. I love that. I love that you have such support of loving people. That's great. Oh, that's so great. So do you find, are there certain triggers, like anxiety triggers, that might set it off? Or are there, like you said, heat definitely would be a trigger, but are there like emotional triggers or like anxieties or things like that that could trigger it?
Definitely. A lot of people think that, you know, we're nervous because we're sweating, but we're sweating because we're nervous, or we're nervous because we're sweating, and there's a definite
right.
difference between those two. I feel
sure.
like the older I get, the more trigger situations I'm placed in. For example, job interviews, you know, that first handshake when you go in to meet someone for a job, my hand is dripping wet. And it's not because
right.
I'm nervous for the interview. It's because I'm nervous because I'm sweating.
Right.
So things like that, public speaking, that can be a trigger. You know, networking events, you know, I'm already envisioning, you know, when I do meet Oprah that, you know, my hand's probably going to be sweaty, but you know what, that's okay because she will then know what hyperhidrosis is, and it's not something to be ashamed of. I can't help
no.
the fact that I am
right.
a little bit more wet than other people are, you know.
But, you know, on the positive, Maria, you'll probably never have wrinkles young. You'll have really moist skin, and you'll look really
That's
young
true.
For a long, long time. But
that is very
let's
true.
Talk about what, let's talk about what needs to be done in the future for this condition. Like, what you're bringing awareness to it, and that's incredible and awesome, and your blog is fabulous, and I think that it's so incredibly pioneering and brave of you. I love pioneers. Pioneers are my gig. So you're a pioneer. And I,
thank you.
And you're welcome. And I think that what you're doing is just such a fabulous service for those who are afraid, because when we feel different, there's a certain amount of repression we all kind of feel. And
right.
it's kind of, you know, it's that piece that would, even if just one person can relate to us, we don't feel so alone or lonely. And you're giving so much hope in My Life as a Puddle, your blog. So let's talk about what needs to be done for the future for this condition so that more research or more insight is brought to it.
Right. So I would definitely say more research and clinical trials need to be done so that we can find better treatment options, because what treatment works for one person may not work for another, because we're all unique. Our bodies are all different. I've tried basically everything except for that ETS surgery that I mentioned. My
okay.
next route of treatment is going to be ion tophoresis. That's where you essentially place your hands and feet into shallow trays of water, and then you run an electrical current through it. And what that
oh
does
my
is
gosh.
Basically paralyzes your sweat glands.
Oh,
yeah,
dear
sounds
God.
A little scary. Electricity
yeah,
and water together sounds a bit
first.
Scary.
Yeah, watch someone
right.
go before you, okay?
Right. So I've tried just about everything, and that's what I would tell people, too, is do your research first before you try any of
right.
these treatments. And start that research at sweathelp.org. That's the International Hyperhidrosis Society's website. They are the independent authority on excessive sweating. They are a nonprofit organization. And so they are really the leaders in the field who are working with dermatologists all over the world, putting them through, treatment options and trainings and symposiums. And then the other thing that needs to happen is we need to have better insurance coverage for all of these different types of treatment, because
Amen.
It can be very expensive to try and stop your sweating.
Right, right. And insurance is a key piece here. When
yes.
you had the Botox done in your hands, because I've heard this about migraines, I've heard this about different treatments with Botox, did the Botox work at all for your sweating in your hands?
It did. It worked for about 3 weeks, best 3 weeks of my life. My confidence went through the roof, and I felt like a
wow.
different person for those 3 weeks. But I have heard, though, that you need to do that Botox treatment several times in a row in order to lengthen out the treatment protocol, you know, to get relief. So just, you know, one time is not going to help you long term. So you've got to keep repeating that process to get longer times of relief.
Okay. Would you consider that as an option, or would you feel better about it different? Because you were talking about the I'm not quite
ion.
Sure how to pronounce it.
Oh, yeah, no, ion tophoresis.
Okay, there we go.
I think Botox Yeah, Botox is a valid treatment option, but it can be very painful. I mean, they numbed my hands using ice cubes, and then they used a vibrator to trick my body into responding to the vibration versus the needle injections.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of a painful process, but at that point,
yeah.
You know, desperate times call for desperate measures, and I was ready and willing to just suck it up and do it because I was so desperate to find relief.
Oh, bless your heart. I hope that you realize how awesome you are and that this is such a powerful, really powerful, powerful subject. And you know, to take on anything that is, you know, like that people are embarrassed to talk about their bodies. You know, the body is such a necessary place to start with ourselves that it's really for you to take a subject that, you know, so many people are suffering and you're bringing it to the light and saying, hey, look, you know, it's okay. You know, here, we can help. I applaud you so much. I think that you are such a brave soul and so worthy of so much to be proud of. So just, you know that and own that, because that's an awesome, awesome thing. Anything I missed that we could sum up or bring the audience to the Hyperhidrosis website again for information or for more insight into this condition before we have to go and chat with Joshua?
Yeah, so I'll just list the websites again. The International Hyperhidrosis Society, you can find them at sweathelp.org. And then you can find me across all social media at My Life as a Puddle. And then my blog is mylifeasapuddle.com.
Wonderful. Maria, thank you so much for talking with us today on Unlimited Realities. This has been it's very informative. I had no idea about this, and my compassion for you is through the roof. I just applaud you and your bravery and your pioneering spirit and just the education of what you're bringing the audience and everyone to. Just fabulous.
Thank you.
You're such a teacher. Oh, God bless you. And thank you for being on Unlimited Realities. And I can't wait to meet you.
Yep, same here.
Have a great day, Maria. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. And last but certainly not least, we're going to wrap up the hour with my third guest, our only male O Magazine insider, Joshua Perez. Joshua is a life coach, and I love this guy without even meeting him, but I truly believe that we're only as sick as our secrets, and perhaps I'll live to be 101, but Joshua also believes this with me. But his experience is just so incredibly powerful and poignant that I want to introduce him with the respect that it deserves, because if we could all be open enough to hear and feel and learn through another's experience, all the better. But sometimes we can't. And Joshua has a powerful, powerful experience and lesson and learning here for everyone to really embrace their authentic self. And what more of a powerful message could we, you know, share today than embrace your authentic, genuine soul? So today we welcome my new friend, Joshua Perez, life coach. And welcome, welcome to Unlimited Realities, Joshua. It's so wonderful to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Lisa. And can I just say that it's National Wine Day, and I've stayed sober all day this morning just for the show.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. But, you know, the show will be over in 22 minutes, and all's fair, right? So... Welcome, welcome, Joshua. Now, Joshua
Thank
is
you,
author of the book Satisfy Your Soul. And Joshua, your story is one of so much bravery and courage that I just felt such a kinship and connection to you in reading it. I had to just reach out. But your story is, it's not an unusual story, but it's a brave story that many people need to hear, because you chose a path that was a traditional path, and you got married, and you had children, and you were a pastor, and then you embraced being gay, which, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's start off with your story. Let's talk about you started your story with a beautiful wife and children, and let's start from there. You found your calling as in the church as really having a gap. There was really a gap for the youth. There was a gap for the teenagers and the young adults, and you saw that and embraced that piece. And let's go from there and talk about how the story evolved for you.
Sure. So as a child, I had a pretty unstable childhood, which kind of created a longing in me to be a dad, to be a good dad, and to make a positive impact in the lives of teenagers, youth, young adults. And so early in my adulthood, I got connected with a church that nothing was really happening with the youth or young adults. And I saw a need, and I just kind of stepped into it. And grew from just a volunteer, kind of like a Bible study teacher or leader, into the youth pastor of that church. And in that time, met a beautiful woman, my former wife, the mother of my children, and we started a great life together.
Wonderful. Now, as you're married and you're building up your ministry, and it's booming, and life is wonderful, and the kids are healthy and gorgeous, and you've got this beautiful marriage, and from the outside looking in, life looks flippin' perfect. However,
yeah.
Your mom was going through a health crisis at the time, and you went to go visit her. And let's talk about how that discovery of really tapping into your authentic self hit you, because at the time, your mom was really fearing that she was going to die, and she was dealing with a lot of regrets about how she lived her life. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, parents have a punch that, you know, only kids can give us after we're a parent ourselves. But parents
yeah.
give us a punch that, man, it's a wake-up call sometimes. And this to me, when I was reading your story, Joshua, it really hit me like one of those moments, one of those pivotal moments in time in your life that it was like, okay, I could like stick my head in the sand and, you know, just continue on, or I could really feel this through and embrace who I am and realize, hey, dude, you know, something's got to shift. So let's talk about
yeah.
that, because, you know, moms are a bit pretty big influence in our lives, good, bad, or indifferent, they just are. So let's talk
yeah.
about the mom hit, you know. How did that manifest?
Yeah, so like you said, life was going great. Marriage was wonderful. And everything was good on that side. But I witnessed my mom go through an experience that really was the most impactful experience I've had with my mom ever, and changed my life for the better. So I'm so thankful for that. But she was actually in the hospital with a condition that she thought she was going to die from, I think within a matter of days. And she was panicking. She was looking back over her life, wishing that she had lived a very different life and had made a lot of different choices. And she was, you know, rehashing things that she and I had already talked about, apologizing for things that, you know, we had already made peace with. And I could tell that she was really kind of panicking, because she feels like she's at the end of her life and there's not shit she can do about it, you know. And it was a real eye-opening experience for me, because I realized I didn't want to be 50, 60, 70 years old at the end of my life looking back and wishing I had done it completely different, but not being able to do shit about it. So it
mm-hmm.
took me on a journey of, you know, kind of self-discovery and wrestling. You know, I was very connected to my church. I was a networker in the city, so, you know, a lot of people knew me and knew my life. And, of course, I was a husband to a great wife. I had two kids that I had seen almost every day of their life. So to make a change meant sacrificing a lot, and
mm-hmm.
it certainly wasn't easy. So it took several months of just thinking, meditating, praying, getting other people's advice. And slowly but surely I started to make changes. I eventually, obviously being a pastor, I was very conservative, very ingrained in religion. And so I started to take a step back from the church and eventually was able to tell my wife, you know, I've tried this for 10 years. You're a great woman. You're a great mom. But I'm still gay. And I often say that if you've had a vacuum cleaner in your closet and for 10 years it doesn't work, eventually you're going to get rid of the vacuum cleaner.
Right.
And that's really what happened for me. I tried and I tried and I tried to be straight. And there are people, probably some listening today, who witnessed that journey, and they know that I genuinely tried everything I knew to try, the books, the seminars, the counseling, the accountability groups, and it just didn't work. And so January 1st, 2012.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
January 1st, 2012. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's a delay. I was just going to interject that, you know, you can't really change gay.
No, you can't pray it away.
I mean, God bless you for trying, but, you know, that's just one of those pieces where it's an embracing. So I'm sorry, January 1st, continue. I will pipe down now.
So January 1st, 2012, I told my now ex-wife, you know, it's not working. I'm still gay. And a few days later, she told me she was pregnant. And, you know, the whole reason I stayed in that life for so long was really my kids and longing to be a good dad and to provide a stable life for them. And so when she told me she was pregnant, I was like, okay, we're going to have to make this work. And unfortunately, a few weeks later, she had a miscarriage and lost the baby. And as heartbreaking as it was for me, it was a sign I need to move on. I need to be my mm-hmm. true self. And so.
Right. Right. So how was she able to process it? Was it something that took a long time for her? Was it something you worked together on? Was it something that she was able to finally accept and move forward?
Yeah, it was hard to tell.
Yeah, I bet.
Not going to lie about that. It took about 6 months of us wrestling with it together before we finally decided together to move forward with the divorce. Thankfully, though, today we have a very healthy co-parenting relationship. We work really well together, and I'm a lucky man to have an ex-wife like her.
That's awesome. That's incredible. She is. She sounds like an incredible lady. She really does. So now when you're going through this, self-discovery, and you went through, we talked a little bit about how you took 6 months to kind of like take a little, you know, self-check on things and how things shifted. What I find is really cool and interesting is as you were embracing your authentic self, you realized how uptight you'd been all these years.
Oh my God,
and you really wanted to have a little fun. So let's talk about the restrictiveness that you felt. Is that kind of why you don't go into said religion, because of kind of the energy it left you with? Did it leave you with kind of a restricted vibe?
Yeah, and I feel like I'm starting to flirt with religion and spirituality a little more than I did at first. Again, but yeah, I tend to think that God or the higher power or our source, whatever you want to call that, doesn't really give a fuck as much as we like to think. And so many religions are so strict and limiting on what we can do. What I teach my kids, for example, like with I've said a few bad words, so to say, on this show already. What I teach my kids is a word is only bad when you use it in a bad way to pull someone down or to hurt someone.
Right.
And I think that applies to our actions as well. as long as I'm not hurting someone else or I'm not hurting myself, then who gives a fuck?
Right. Well, you know, and that's the interesting piece about self-love is when we truly can embrace our authenticity and we are loving ourselves truly, that we really do lighten up on ourselves. We really look at the practicality of who we are, the real of who we are, and also that super, you know, BS that we can just say, okay, well, that's just not important anymore, and I don't have to, you know, adhere to that person's definition of me. And you just don't care, you know. I know every decade I care less what people think. So it's like, you know, you get to a point where, you know, who are you going to have to, you know, attest to in the end. It's going to be you and God. And so it's like, you know, you're who you are is where it needs to be. And I just find that your story is just such a powerful story because I've spoken to many men. Well, I can call four men off the top of my head right now who lived with their wives for over 20 years and came out gay. And so, you know, here they have, you know, grown children, teenage children, children in college, and it's really, really tormenting them because it gets to a point where they may have had a lover for 20 years and their wife never knew about it, but there's this lie that they feel they've had to live under because of society or because of what is deemed normal. And, you know, it gets a little shaky ground. You know, we're in kind of, you know, there's sometimes I shake my head today because in the 21st century we should be a heck of a lot more advanced in our acceptance of different people, religions, sexuality, you know, color of the skin, anything. It just, you know, and we're not. It seems like, you know, the fear monger has really taken a hold of some people's better sense. So for you to come out and do all of this that you're doing in creating people's empowerment and empowering people to take charge of their lives and look at themselves and be honest with what you want and your happiness, I just really have to applaud you, Joshua. So thank you for all that you're doing and all that you are and all that you've already done. It's a really courageous move for you. Now let's talk a little bit about your wonderful book, Satisfy Your Soul, which also I want everyone to make sure that they can access that. I imagine it's at Amazon, is it? Amazon.com?
Yeah, you can order it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or my website, feelfreetogrow.com.
Feelfreetogrow.com, audience. Feelfreetogrow.com. Okay, now, so where would you... when your mother is, you've gone through this whole process, and did your mother pass, by the way, or was she able to overcome her health condition?
No, she's alive and well. Thank you for
asking. Oh, wonderful. Okay, so how did that relationship change after you embraced yourself and she was the catalyst for it and all of this? I imagine that relationship had to have gone through a little bit of a metamorphosis as well, huh?
Yeah, I don't think you know this yet, but my mom is actually a lesbian, and so telling my mom that I was gay was actually way easier than trying to be straight. And so it actually went really well. She was obviously very accepting, and just the experience being able to share this story and her being so much a part of it really means a lot to her. So.
Oh, that's incredible. That's really, really great.
Yeah.
So it probably really improved your relationship with her and blessing, all these hidden blessings in disguise.
Yeah. Well, I believe that every experience, this is like my life mantra, every experience is a chance to learn and grow. And so that was definitely one of them. And really, I wouldn't change a thing about my story, even though, you know, there was a season where I wasn't fully being myself. I learned so much about relationships and about, you know, being your true self, even as a Christian pastor. So I wouldn't change a thing for sure.
Right. No, I totally agree, Joshua. I think there's no mistakes. I think we are resonating exactly where we need to be in the moment that we're there. And, you know, if we're wise enough, we can learn and grow from the experiences, pleasant or not, and make that lemonade out of those lemons. But I really want to thank you. Or margarita. I'm a lightweight when it comes to that stuff. But you know, I'll join in. No worries. I have one tequila story, and it's not pretty. So,
are any tequila stories good?
Well, they can be really funny if it's not yours. You know. No, I have a typical tequila story, but it's a good tequila story. I just fell off my bar stool. I never drank tequila again, you know. So it's like, had a good time, great time, good memories. But really, I want to thank all my wonderful guests today who were on the show, and it is a wonderful Thursday to have these OMAG insiders to talk to us about their experiences, their lives, and the light that they bring to this universe that we live in, because we all need a little bit more light. And here we have 50 incredible OMAG insiders shedding light and little specters all over for us. So God bless us. And Amy Boyle, photographer, Maria Lynn Thomas for hyperhidrosis, and Joshua Perez, life coach. I want to thank all three of you for such incredible, wonderful interviews and stories today, and thank you for being my guests on Unlimited Realities. Audience, I want to take you to our next week. We're going to have 3 OMAG insiders as well talking to us. We're going to have Eileen Fruit Handler, Tanya Taylor, and Deborah Ross as we discuss our informing, empowering, and inspiring insiders next week, June 1st, on Thursday at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, also archived for your listening pleasure. I'm going to trail off. God bless everyone. Thank you for listening today. And the code word for the free OMAG subscription is spirit. God bless you all. Have a blessed week, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Take care. Bye, everyone.